Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast, filmed right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I'm your host, Dustin Kaufman. Please subscribe, like, share, just click subscribe right there. That's all you got to do. Welcome to the show. It's an honor this week, Mr. Brian Moses.
Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you. Thanks for coming to the club. Thanks for bringing your show here, for sitting down. What a fun show that is. We just got done doing Roast Battle League, like maybe 20 minutes ago.
Maybe, yeah, like barely. Yeah.
Energy is fantastic. I love the show, man.
It's fun. It's if you're a joke writing geek, you like hearing jokes, you know, it's like joke writing contest. So that's what we equate it to, and that's why we love it so much, man. So
you've been doing this roast battle for about what, how 12 years now? 12
years, yeah. I'm almost old enough for Woody Allen. Yeah.
How did you get started with this, and how did you end up even hosting on, you're one of the original creators, mm-hmm, of like the roast battle and stuff. So like you hosting, that was just the natural spot for it.
Well, it was an open mic first. That's really what it was. It was the Comedy Store used to have two open mic nights, two potluck nights. You know this. So on Monday and Sunday, Sunday and Monday. And then they got rid of the Sunday night because they needed more money. So they started putting more headliners on Sundays and just got rid of the open mic. So that kind of got rid of the scene a little bit. And as a younger comic, when you're coming up in the scene, it's like those open mics are everything, especially at the big clubs, especially that big club. So we lost both those nights. We only had one night. That's what created Kill Tony and Roast Battle, because we were just trying to facilitate more spots for guys we were coming up with.
You know? Belly room?
Yeah. Belly room stuff. Yeah. So
it's amazing. Like all these shows, mm-hmm, like that are just so huge and widely known come from that little room above the Comedy Store, man.
Yeah. Because we were starved for stage time, you know, like, now a door guy can get a bunch of stage time. If you know like the history of the Comedy Store door guys, it's like an institution like SNL is, right? So you're usually volunteering, or they hire you from like a showcase kind of a thing. And then you're just kind of sitting there, you know, becoming a jaded comic, but watching every night, getting to see great comics, getting to see terrible comics, and getting to figure out who you are, right? Getting to figure out what your voice is, by becoming more and more callous by not getting stage time. And that's the way it was back in the day. The store just wasn't really... It wasn't a booming place like it is now. It wasn't until Joe Rogan came back and that whole podcast generation came with him kind of a thing. And that's what brought butts back into the seats. But when I was a store guy there, they were getting rid of, you know, getting rid of like anything that wasn't making money. So it was like they brought bringer shows in there, which is like, you know, if you're a producer, you got to, you know, you're getting young comics who are bringing like five of their family members or friends.
And then you get the people like, I'm performing at the store. Like, are you though? Like, what show are you performing on? Yeah. We want clarification.
And that creates like a weird atmosphere too, right? Because then you've got these guys who showcased.
I remember that.
Right, yeah. And then you look at the Bringer guys, you're like, oh, this is a Bringer comic, you know? So you kind of get like classified as that. But yeah, that was what was going on in the Comedy Store.
A producer who relies on bringers for his is not really providing he does a lot of bringer shows,
right?
So they do a lot of bringer shows.
Yeah. I mean, there are some guys who kind of come out of that system that's pretty good. Like Craig Conant is one of them. You know, he was he was in that system a little bit with like a lot of
Craig.
Those. But Craig, yeah, exactly. He used the system for what it was supposed to be. He was like, I just didn't get better.
Yeah.
So he did his bringer thing, and then he just became like friends with all those producers, and then just became a monster, you know, in stand up. But outside of that, yeah, that was what the Comedy Store was. It was just terrible shows with terrible producers. And then there was like a few shows that the booker was booking, you know, like at five shows a night. And then they're like, well, we need more, you know, headliners to get in here so we can make some more money. So they got rid of Sunday. And so then Tony did Mondays in the belly room for Kill Tony. And I did Tuesdays, which was before Roast Battle. It was just an open mic that I just had people kind of stay in there to pick their names out of a sombrero hat. That way they didn't leave the room. So I was like, we always had a full room because you couldn't leave. You're like, well, my name might get picked. I want to just, you know, pay for parking and put my name
in.
So
Roast Battle started as an open mic. And what was the transition to an actual roast battle? Like,
it was a fight. It was literally an employee there and a newish comic who was underage. So you got to be 21 to get into the Comedy Store. And this guy, we didn't know. He was under 21. He seemed like the rest of us. He was, you know.
Yeah.
And he looked a little older, too. So, but one of the door guys who didn't like him was like, hey, that kid's underage, man. He can't be here.
Oh, my God.
And so then Kenny Lyon, the guy, he was like, well, you know, I turn 21 next week. And when I come back, I'm going to beat your ass for, you know, for ratting me out kind of a thing. And I just got in this room and I was just like, yeah, we should slap box. Like it's, you know, it's like, that skate culture. So like, you know, when you're in like in the bowl, like, you know, guys are putting on boxing gloves and just boxing it out. They're like, you know, you stole my trick. You hit me when I was like, you know, going to, you know, I was dropping into the bowl. So I kind of come from that slap boxing culture. So I was like, you guys should slap box. And we'll like, we'll judge it like that. But they had just put cameras into the belly room. Oh, and I was like, God. But they catch me like fighting in here. Like I'll lose this and I'll get fired too. You know what I mean? As a door guy. So I switched it up and said, you know what? I can't have you guys actually fight because they just put cameras. I literally was like, yes, but they put cameras in here. This was last week. You guys be fighting right now. But how about we do this? You guys just talk some shit about each other. And we got a bunch of comics in here. We'll just, you know, gladiator style, yay or nay it, you know? And that's how the first one started. And then every Tuesday after that, I've had.
That's how it started.
Literally how it started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that there's a real story to the birth of this.
Yeah, this wasn't, you know. This is all organic. Like this was literally, like, everything we do for the roast battle is strictly organic. I try to not do anything like that's forced. Every time we try to do something forced, like a tag team, like it's two guys roasting two other guys, or there's a cut man in the corner. Like we tried so many things to get the formula to where it is right now. And it really was a community project. There were so many comics. It was an open mic. They would have suggestions of just like, oh, do it like this, do it like this. And we would A and B test it every week until we figured it out.
Well, you've designed a format that has been mimicked all over the country times. I mean, it's a perfect format. And I love the roast format because it's free. Anything that gets a stand-up comedian writing for a specific show and writing jokes they're only going to use once. I like anything like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Because comedy, it's the same joke. You're writing a set, you work it out, you know, like all it's, and it gets you into this mindset of it's, well, it has to work. You know, where you go on stand up, we'll go see how it works. We'll tweak it. We'll do that. When you're writing for a show like this, these are my jokes. They just have to work.
Yeah. There's a comic who's a roast writer, Benji Aflalo. He says, when a joke doesn't work, it feels like you're falling out of an 18-story building. It's just like, oh, that didn't work. And like, I was relying on that to work. Oh no. Now I'm stuck in a place where, oh shoot, I can't use my personality like in stand up so I can like kind of get out of it, or you know, play it off like, oh, you guys didn't like that, and you know, go on with it. You only get your jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and you can play off a little bit here and there, but for the most part, it is just what you're writing. And that's what we like about it, because we're, you know, we're joke geeks. So this, we like to say it's a joke writing contest, you know,
yeah.
Even though it is roasting for the most part, but
it's a writing.
Yeah. It's a writing exercise for the most part. Like you get to pick subjects of whatever you want to talk about your opponent. And that's what it is. So a lot of guys do take it as a joke writing exercise.
Another thing I like about the roast battle is obviously just the roasting side of it. It's shock, it's brutal, it's ruthless, no holds barred, anything goes.
Fearless.
Like yeah. when Joel tonight was like, I want to say this, I don't want to come off too racist, even though he never did. And like just that right there is like, nah, just, you just got to do it.
Right. Right.
Whatever, you're going to just own it, and they're going to go or they're not. But you can't judge you for the audience in that position.
No, you have to just like let it go, because yeah, that's what they came here for. They want to hear the brutality, but they want to hear it in a funny way, because all that stuff transcends. You know, like if you can make something awful funny, I mean, like that's cathartic and it's a release. That's kind of what tension and release is, right? So
right.
It kind of is the crux of what we do.
And so like, and it's, you don't see that style all the time. So it is just very boom, high in your face. Now you travel, I mean, as many as you've done traveling all over the country, because you do these all over the country, which is great because you can showcase comics from all over and you're putting them on the internet. You're giving a platform and just giving funny people who wouldn't have it just a few extra eyes, which is great.
That's what it's about, man. Yeah. It's giving these guys like yourself who are just dominant joke writers, guys who know how to write a joke and can perform and may not get as much shine as like, you know, the guys that go on Kill Tony or like the podcast guys. Like this is a place where it's like, hey, we're still doing bare bones, you know, set up punch kind of like jokes, you know, so this still exists over here. And you should go see these guys do stand up because they're even better, because now you're seeing like actual great storytellers and great joke writers, you know, instead of just like, hey, here's my personality, or hey, you know, I'm getting kicked in the nuts, or hey, whatever it is, you know? Yeah. So we really appreciate, we like to say we like to surround ourselves with the best comics in the game because they're all joke writers.
So after a certain amount of time in stand up, you become jaded, distant a little. You can't, like, you could be in a room with 10 comics hearing the sound of laughter, seeing the comics, knowing what they're talking, and not hear one word coming out. It's like that you almost, so do you get desensitized to the roasting style, like traveling with it as often as you, because I know you're off to the side, I know you are watching, but like, do you ever find, you're like, I should probably be reacting to this stronger than I am right now?
No,
or
is a great
question. Is it always still fresh?
It is always still fresh, and that's why I still do it. I think that's, I try to tell myself that, because I do it every Tuesday, and I've been doing it every Tuesday for the last 12 years. And I tell myself,
and Thursday, right here at the Comedy Club at Kansas.
Yeah. No, it's I hear something new every time. Like the joke that Joel had tonight about, you know, Monisha in the blackboard. Like that's what gets me up every time. And that's what's going to get me to host this show and continue to keep producing the show all the time. Because
one of the best jokes in the, maybe the best joke of the night.
Honestly. I mean, one of the best jokes I've ever heard in this format. So it was really well done. And I just love to see.
He's going to, he just nutted his pants a little bit hearing, yeah. He not just talked about, but hearing you say all this about.
It was really good, man. I mean,
I hope you're watching with your wife right now. I hope your little baby's in the room, even though she doesn't know English yet.
Oh,
watching you watch this on YouTube. And I hope you get laid really good tonight because of that one little titty blackboard joke.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So you should fuck that man.
Yeah.
Pardon my language. I don't know. Yeah,
just we'll bleep it out.
We're not
okay.
I don't know. Bleep it.
Yeah, but for the last 12 years, especially going around the country, especially here's what I love about it, because it's a global sport now, right? This competition that we're doing, this joke writing competition, so you get to see different styles. Like in Scotland, they do a just rapid fire, like 9 jokes per one round kind of a thing, and then they're going to another, you know, like 5 jokes kind of thing, but they're doing 3 or 4 jokes per that one setup. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of styles are different with the UK. They're a little more blunt, but they're a little more dry, right? Scotland's obviously they rattle off so many jokes. New York is very, very brutal. Denver's really silly. Austin's very buzzword heavy.
You said Denver silly?
Denver's so silly. Like, yeah. They do the silliest dark jokes I've ever heard, right? The Bay Area and Chicago are kind of a blend of New York and Austin. Okay. So they can be shocking, but they can also be really smart and clever.
Yeah.
And then LA is just, you know, it's a lot of actors over there. So it's a lot of easy setups to get to some kind of act out or some kind of, you know, thing I can do.
Their funny friend helped them write it.
They're just faces. No. LA's the best. I mean, yeah, they're leading the league right now. So it's fun, man. I don't get enough of it because you get to see so many new comics coming up and like, and just reimagining the wheel with this thing. I get to hear and see so many new jokes done so many different ways. And like, I can't tell you how many pedophile jokes I've heard and just filleted and sliced and, you know, and sous vide so many different ways. I'm just like, yeah, I've heard them all, but I haven't. I'm going to hear for the next 12 years, another 12 years, you know, pedophile jokes. I'm going to be like, those are awesome.
And they're brand new.
And they're brand new, just like those kids they fuck.
And keeps it. Beep. and I think it works really good. The way you do it and the way you structure it and work with the clubs now and stuff, I think really helps too, because you're saying, hey, help me with the chemistry of this.
Yeah.
Like, help me put these matches together. And so you kind of get that chemistry when you go around and you get the friends, you get people who know each other, they can work together. Would it work the same having... Here's the roast battle. They come here, like going against semi strangers, almost strangers, stuff like that. Like if you did like a big competition, like how much time would they need to know who their opponent is? Like, you know what I mean? Because you definitely, there's the advantage to going to where they know each other. How does it work when they don't know each other?
It sucks. Or used to anyway. The professionals are really good at it now. I'd say the guys who do it a lot. But it used to just be, man, every time we went out of town, if it was an LA guy going to New York or a New York guy going to Austin, just battling a guy who's a good roast battler, but they may not know him personally, it always sucked. But now, because we're putting it online so much and, you know, it's a whole show and you can see so many of them now, guys know more about the guys they're battling, right? So they're not complete strangers as much as they used to be. But if it's a complete stranger against another complete stranger, they don't know anything about each other. It's always going to suck. It's going to be surface level jokes you've always heard, maybe some your mama jokes, just like unoriginal stuff.
Man, I I think anytime you get into a battle like this and you know you who you're going to go against, even if it's a different city, get on a Zoom call. Go have a cup of coffee. Sit down with each other. Open up. Tell you just get all the information you can. Give all the information you can. And it does make it a much better
It's about making a good show. We try to equate it to Chopped on Food Network, right? It's like you never really remember who wins, but you know like, oh, man, the competition was so fun like and what they were doing and how close it was, but you never really remember who wins. And that's you're just trying to make a good meal and put on a good show. Ultimately, that's what makes the countdown, the podcast, you know, because the podcast is where you get the league points. The whole league revolves around that podcast, and it's never about who wins and loses in the battle. It's just about who puts on the best performance, and that's how you get points for your city.
So how does that work? How does the point system work? Like, what do you do with the winners, or is it the cities who win? Or
no, so it's the individuals and the cities, right? So it's
What happens to the people who won tonight?
So if you get like so let's say Kansas City, right? And then they have this. Let's say that the Connor and Pat battle make it, right? And they number 7, number 6 in the world for that week. Then you guys would get 2 points. So the higher up you get, the more points you get. 7 is 1, 6 is 2, 5 is 3, 4, you know, that kind of a thing. So then you guys, but you're not in the league, so your points wouldn't count. So then your points would go to wherever these guys would claim they want to be from, right? Because they're not part of the league. It'd be like, okay. Oh, yeah, Connor's from like Philadelphia, so that goes to Philadelphia.
Now, wait a minute. You have to sign up for the league?
You have to get sanctioned and commissioned by the Rose Bowl League Commissioner, Pat Barker.
Really?
Yeah, and we have a B league. So that's why there's 16 in the major league, and then there's the lower league, which is called the WRBL, and that's 8 teams, and all 8 of those cities compete in just one division. And the loser or the lowest scoring city from the major league goes to the secondary league, and the top scorer from the secondary league gets to go to the big league.
Wow.
It's like soccer.
So how many times a year are they putting on shows, competing?
Some guys are doing it once a week. Some guys are doing it twice a month. You have to do it at least twice a month to qualify for the big league.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
And they're all just filmed at their home clubs, mm-hmm. and then just it's all online distribution.
And then after that, they send it into our podcast producer and Pat. Pat has a committee of like 12 roast battles from around the world. They all watch them. They give their submissions to Pat. Pat tallies them, and then we talk about it every Sunday or Monday on the podcast. The podcast comes out on Tuesday on the Roast Battle channel on YouTube.
Do you have a desire to go back to TV with it?
Yeah, I mean, because at this point, like, we are TV because it's on YouTube.
That's my question is, like, you know, I often will talk to comics about, especially like when we have comics, like, you know, we've had a few from like Washington State, or we get comics who are living all over the country now, and the LA New York thing for stand up is almost obsolete if you can create your own buzz. If you know how to build a following and interact with your following and engage them, you don't need to. So for this, I know artistically you're free to do whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, are you getting everything you want out of it in this format?
I am now. I wouldn't say I was it in the beginning, just because when you sell a television show, especially back in the day when like linear and broadcast existed, they really don't exist anymore right now.
Right.
But before the whole streaming thing, you go and you kind of get railed by the company, right? By the studio or by the network. So they take your trademark, and then you can't. That's not yours anymore. It's almost like if I created Nike and then I gave it like, oh, here, Phil Knight, go figure it out kind of a thing. But I'm going to keep my trademark so I can get that money still. They don't do that. Like, that's why Broad City isn't still Broad City. It's why Goatface isn't still Goatface. It's why Tosh.0 doesn't exist. That storytelling show that Ari Shaffir had, this is not happening. And then they just take them, and then, you know, if it doesn't get the ratings, they just bury them. And those guys don't get their IP back.
I loved that This Is Not Happening show. Yeah. I mean, comics who are just to get those stories and just to see everybody, like, force themselves. It's another one of those things that we were talking about, writing for a specific some people are storytellers, they have the bits, but I know a lot of those comics and they have written for that show, and just to see people stretch and get into that environment is so cool.
It was fun, man. But yeah, just getting back on TV isn't as dire as I think it was maybe last decade, because what's happening right now with the whole industry leaving Hollywood. Like they're going across the globe because it's cheaper. They're going to other places in the country because it's cheaper. You know, it's
comics are going to Austin.
Comics going to Denver. Comics going to Nashville.
Come to Kansas City. Comics?
Chappelle's got a new club in Ohio. You know, so you really don't have to, because TV is YouTube now. You don't have to, like, you're not starving to get back on TV to build your fan base anymore. Like, you have a fan base now that will follow you anywhere you go because of the content, you know, era that we're in right now. As far as TV is, though, TV is what, Netflix now, so that's kind of the North Star.
That is so funny. Like, TV isn't streaming. Like, there is, like, you're right. I mean, when you say TV, you think of a cable network or a Fox or a Fox, whatever they are. Yeah. You do think that, but they're all picked up by streaming sites now. All the specials are on streaming. All the shows are on streaming.
Yeah. And if you have a big enough fan base, or you're clean enough, or, you know, you're not like us, cause we get demonetized all the time, obviously, because our content is crazy. Just for what we're saying. But if you're a regular,
because of the content,
the language,
interesting. Yeah.
For the most part, you can make more money, doing the content thing. If you're just doing a bunch of ad rev or a subscriber based model kind of a thing, you have a fan base that's willing to pay, like, you know, $1 or $5 a month. That's why Patreon works for these guys so well right now. But that's really what it is. It's TV isn't a thing. And I think
you're
TV
not subscription based.
We're not.
Do you have,
we have a Patreon though.
Okay. Yeah. You do have a donation platform.
Yeah, but we're also building, because we have so many cities, like we have to build a platform so people can, like, come see us, almost like Disney Plus, like building a whole Roast Battle metaverse, almost like a Marvel verse, you know? So that's what we have to do for people to come see all 24 of these cities and discover all these comics and discover all these scenes and really make it like a sport, like really lean into the sports marketing of it all and being like, you want to be about your city? Yeah, well, get behind the players in this city, learn some of the comics, right? So then you'll see people, you know, from Kansas City being like, I love Connor Don. Did you hear that, you know, that dog joke he said to that Asian guy? You know what I mean? So we're trying to get to that thing of, you know, there's Kansas City Royal fans, Kansas City Chiefs fans. We want Kansas City Roast Battle fans too, you know?
We're gonna make this happen. We're coming for you. I don't know how. I will read the instructions on how to apply, but I'm going to apply, and we're coming for you.
2 shows a month. Have this lady film right here and then send them in. And yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. And just talk to Pat at the end of the season, and then he will evaluate all the new people coming in. So we don't want to get too big. I mean, you know, most sports leagues only have like 30-something teams. So we're at 24 right now.
So you're solid. Saying you have room for another one. You got six.
Yeah, about seven. Yeah.
24 teams.
Yeah.
It's made all different cities.
It's 9 international.
Do you see a lot of the same comics coming from the same cities? Like, are they like, what would you say your rotation is like? Is it four battles a week?
Man, that's a good
per
question.
City?
Well, I'll say this, because there, you know, it's like a season, so you're gonna have like star players, right? So we will see like guys like, oh man, AJ Leidig's back, or oh man, Jack Traynor or Nate Welch or John Njoda or Malia Simon. So we will see people throughout the seasons that will repeat and do that kind of a thing. But for the most part, no, it's new generations all the time, new comics coming out all the time. Like, we've had 3 different MVPs every season. So, or sorry, 2 different ones. You had, the first one was an Indian lady from the UK named Shalaka Karup, who's an incredible joke writer, and she's ascending now as a comic over in the UK. And the second one was this Scottish kid named Jack Traynor, who's been doing stand-up for like 3 years, and now he's ascending now too, because everybody kind of knows who he is from this joke writing thing, and now he's doing a bunch of one-man shows and doing the Edinburgh Fringe. And, you know, it does get you in the mindset to write more. So it does help them with that, especially the UK guys, because their whole thing is writing a one-man show for the year and then performing it throughout the year. So this kind of helps them, just like keeps their stand-up going and just kind of keeps them fresh, just like we're constantly writing jokes. It's almost like you're going to a writer's room every week if you do a roast battle.
I love how you talk about the people who've been bouncing off of this, the pedestal. You know, when I opened this club, the comedy community in Kansas City was I would say shambles. It was almost non-existent. It was really bad. And seeing where we are now and the scene now, my goal wasn't just to rebuild a bridge for the comedians to come headline. It was to rebuild the community here as well. And that was always something that was really important to me. And I love seeing it. And so when I hear you talk about the comics coming from Roast Battle, platforming, working, I hear the passion and the sincerity coming from you about that. And I think it's so important to have those mindsets and that kind of people like you. What do you mean people like me? People like you.
No, I get it.
In this industry with that mindset. Talk about that and why that is important to you and how that, and is, do you ever get that fatherly figure? Like, I'm so proud of this guy.
Oh, man. I hate the proud thing because I always feel like it's you're like an uncle, but you're not related to this person. So I never try to say I'm proud of anybody because that's always like a weird, it's just a weird phrase for me. But I just get a kick out of it, man. We just hung out with a bunch of guys from overseas, a couple and roast battlers, because they flew into LA to battle, and it was one of the best shows we ever done in the history of roast battle. Hinchcliffe was a judge, and he was saying that because he's, you know, his first TV appearance was on roast battle. You know, what was the burn, and then it was roast battle because he was a writer on that one. But his first official, like, Tony Hinchcliffe versus somebody, you're looking at Tony, is Tony roast battle. Tony
was writing for Burn, yeah. For what, he was writing roast jokes for people before that roast battle too. So when I saw him show up on there, I'm like, yeah, man, this is gonna get good.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't know, man. Like, people, yeah. Tony, I remember Tony homeless and at the Comedy Store, and I remember Jeff Ross coming in. He's like, I'm gonna write for that guy. I'm gonna write him 100 jokes and he's gonna hire me. And then it happened. Like, he couldn't get it because Jeff was huge at this time.
I like
right?
your relaxed impression as well.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not trying to do it, but I'm going to put a little on it.
I've known the guy too long at this point. It's back in my hand. But yeah, I remember like Jeff was just coming off of Rose and he had like a new development deal with Comedy Central. He's about to do The Burn, I think, for the first season. And Tony was like, I want to write for this guy. I want to write in the roasts. And, you know, Jeff didn't talk to anybody. So he was a little weird when Tony kind of came up to him. He's like, okay, well, you're a door guy. I guess you should be talking to me, but what do you want? You know? And he's like, I can write. I'm a roaster. And you know how Tony talks. He's just, I'm going to write you the best jokes ever. He's like, all right, send me 100 jokes. And then that's all she wrote. And they became like besties. And then obviously, you know, he's touring with Jeff.
Not
and then,
homeless anymore.
Not homeless, making money. You know, then he meets Rogan. They hit it off. They become besties. So, yeah, man, I love his story. And he's always been a champion of this show. But, yeah, that show in particular, when those guys came over, you get so happy because you're like, now everybody gets to see how funny we already think these guys are. And no, they are because we watch them every week on the podcast and track and clock them every week on the podcast. And now we get to see our LA friends or our comedy friends get to see these guys. And now, like, want to take these guys on the road or hire these guys as writers. You know, so facilitating and creating, because as a door guy at the Comedy Store, because Tony's like this too. He's just, you know, we're all about facilitating and just making sure the scene and the bar is always, you know, remains not status quo, but just like not raised, but just it doesn't go below where it's, you know, we right. don't want it to be trash, man.
Right.
So you always want
keeping comedy funny.
Exactly. So that's really what it is. It's like when I get geeked about these, you know, these guys, so I'm like, I just love that people are still writing jokes, man. It's like when Kendrick wants to keep lyricism and hip hop, like we want to keep joke writing and stand up. So, and this does do that for these guys. So I get geeked and I want to talk about them all the time because I want people to know that there's some good rappers out there. You know, there's some good comics out there still. So.
Brian, we got to wrap this up with these cameras here. Where can people find you online?
Just tell me Roast Battle. Just anything Roast Battle, Roast Battle League, the YouTube channel Roast Battle. Just go there, you'll find me. And then after that, that's all she wrote.
Anything coming up you want to?
Oh, yeah. We have June 15th, we're at the Mothership in Austin. And then June 13th, we're at the Comedy Cellar doing the All-Star Game.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
That's gonna be dope.
Man, this is great. Thank you. I'm glad we got to sit down and talk.
Brother, we can talk all day about this, Dustin. Come on.
All right, man. Follow Brian Moses, follow Roast Battle, and follow the Comedy Club podcast. Share with your friends. Come on out, find a show at the Comedy Club in Kansas City. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.